Remember, the customer's always right.
I'm your host, Althea, and you're listening to Just the Tip.
Hey guys, welcome back to Just the Tip. This is episode 18. I am here with a good buddy of mine. We actually found each other through the love of Grateful Dead, and we've like hang out together, we party together, and we've also have the same love of working in the service industry. So he is here today. He started the same as everybody else does as a busboy, and he's been in the industry for a long time. He has a lot of insight, and we're gonna just like bullshit and chat a bit today. James, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. We definitely found each other, I'd say, as Deadheads, but I feel like we might have even been on the same school bus as like
elementary school were. Kids.
Like, not like different crowds. I was a little older. Like, I was back of the bus. You were like an intimidating like fourth grader somehow.
Yeah, I was actually definitely like in the middle of the bus because no one would let me sit in the back with the cool kids.
Oh, man. It was a very lame bus for me and Liam Harley to be designated as the cool kids, but I appreciate
it. I just remember you in the back of the bus always standing up and getting in trouble and just like causing a ruckus.
I know. I've calmed in my later years. I now sit on every bus I get on.
Yeah, you've definitely calmed down, but like you're still fun and you have a good time, just in not like a dickish way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think you just called sixth grade me a dick, but I'm going to go by it.
I mean, at one point in your life, you know you were.
Thank you. I'm happy I'm not anymore.
It's okay. I was also a dick for a while. Still am. Okay. So right now you're living in Rhode Island, right?
Yes. Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay.
It's where I went to college and then just ended up staying. It's like a big time summer town. Like if most people are listening from Long Island or whatever, it's kind of like Montauk. It's just like where everyone comes for the summer, so it's like 4 months of just constantly going.
Dope. That's awesome, though. Especially for like the industry that you're in, it's probably money.
Yeah, it's also money for 4 months, and then like winter comes, and you're like, man, I definitely should have gone out less and saved more over, at least when I was younger, that's how it was. But now, you know, you kind of learn to kind of tighten it up come winter time.
I still haven't learned. I've thought about this so many times, like the amount of money that I've made bartending and serving in my life. If I could just collect that now and like have it.
Worst thing because like I worked as a valet for 6 years at a really nice hotel and would go to the bar like I'm 22. And it's like, well, why wouldn't I spend $400 tonight? Because I'm going to make $400 tomorrow. And it evens itself out, which is a terrible, terrible way of thinking.
Yeah, it's really not great. And I still really haven't gotten the hang of like the money saving thing. I'm not great. I was good at it when I like knew I was moving here because I was like, all right, I need to save money. I need to buckle down. Like I'm moving to California and now it's all out the window again.
Well, for sure. I mean, also, it's like for me, it's like the Dead just announced a new tour. So it's like, well, I have to save to go to Chicago and do this and that. So that's like, that's when the like buckling down and saving happens.
Yeah, priorities.
Exactly. Where are you in California?
I'm in LA.
All right. So it's like impossible to save money there probably.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, my rent is cheaper than it was in New York.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But I have a roommate. And, like, the money that I make at the bar that I work at is pretty good.
What's the bar like? Is it, like, McGorry's vibes or totally different?
It is nowhere near you'd expect me working at. It's a craft cocktail bar.
Oh, no. That's, like, you just said, the words that, like, put the most fear in my heart. The bar I run now, it's called the Irish American. It's, like, Gannon's. It's just a dive bar. So, like, if someone comes in and even says, like, a Cosmo, which I know how to make, I'm like, I'm going to have to get the dust off of our martini glasses. Like, this is scary.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I was terrified because most of my existence working in this industry has been at, like, sports bars, dive bars, like,
vodka
things
soda,
like that.
Vodka soda, draft beer. Yeah. You want an old-fashioned? Does it look like we muddle? I don't muddle. Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I've made, like, a lot of different martinis at McGorry's, but other than that, like, craft cocktails, I had no idea. So when I started here, I was in full meltdown mode. I was like, I actually don't know how to bartend.
Oh, for sure.
I have no idea how to do my job. And then I literally did it for like 2 days and I was like, oh, this is super easy, because really it's just a bunch of ingredients that you just have to know what's in it and you make it the same way every time.
So yeah, and you really just shake it. You put it over ice, typically, you shake it. It's normally the same. Usually with a craft cocktail, the people don't know what it tastes like. Like, it's not like they're coming in for that $14 drink every day.
Yeah.
But, like, there's other, like, even, like, opening wine is the reason I've never gone into a nice place to work. Because, like, the fear of having to stand by a table and open a wine bottle in front of someone just shocks me to my core. And it's the same thing with craft
cocktails. I, like, refuse to do it for the first few weeks. And then we actually had this lady come in from the wine company that works for us. And she gave us, like, this whole tasting. And, like, she goes, does anyone want to open this bottle of wine? And I was like, I guess I will. I did it apparently very wrong. Yes. And so now I know how to open the wine bottle properly.
The fear of pulling the cork out, or then, like, the more immense fear of the dickhead being like, oh no, bring it back. And it's like, I'm not trying to handle that response. Like, you don't like it. What do I do here?
Yeah. So we actually have this thing. I don't know if you've heard of it, because I just heard of it. It's called a Coravan.
I have heard of the Coravan.
Okay. So it's like this needle that basically you, like, push into the top of the cork, and it makes, like, one little hole through the cork. You don't have to take it out. And you, like, pour it. It has gas in it. And, like, it pours out for you. And then the cork actually recloses itself.
Like, oh, shit. So it reseals the bottle of wine?
So it reseals the bottle.
So that sounds super cool. Currently, the wine selection at my bar is plastic bottle Woodbridge. we do have a Chardonnay and a Pinot. But you really are limited with your options. And they're all twist-off, which is nice.
Honestly, I'm all about the twist-off life.
100%.
And, like, there's no difference. It really doesn't matter. It actually keeps longer if there's a twist-off, because the corks don't, like, keep really long if you take it out.
Yeah. So that's not an issue I've run into any longer. But a couple places I bartend, it was always anxiety-driven. And then any cocktails. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so now I feel like I'm a real bartender, even though I always was.
Yes, it's just a different type. It's just a different type of bartender, like... I'm guarantee you there's a lot of, like, of these mixologists that if you put them behind a busy college bar that's just vodka soda, like rum and cokes and beers, they would just have a meltdown, because it's 25 girls screaming for a vodka cran, like, all at the same time, and you just have to, like, manage it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. People that have worked and what I'm doing now, if you took any of the people I work with and threw them into a bar like that, they would be unwell.
100%. And it's an awful environment, and it's a different anxiety. One's like, how do I make this cocktail? The other's like, this person has opened and closed their third Bud Light bottle, and how do I not reach across the bar and murder them?
Yeah.
Like leave your tab open. If I see you again, I'm going to fight you.
Oh, that is one of my least favorite things. So I had so many younger, like, kids come in. I say kids, but they were of age, I promise.
That's a huge issue at my bar. Like, I'm talking to, like, some of the old timers. I'm like, I got to get these kids out of there. Like, how old are these kids? I'm like, well, they're 23, but they're fucking children to me.
But they're children to me. Yeah, like, yes. Even though I'm 29, like, they're still kids to me. And they would come in and, like, start a tab at the beginning of the night. They would be totally okay. And then, like, 1 hour later, they're completely hammered. They want me to close their tab, and then 5 minutes later, they reopen it.
Ugh, it's the worst. Like, we have, I mean, number one, kids leaving their debit cards. Like, I'm sure you had it at McGorry's, but we probably have, like, 75 debit cards at our bar right now. One with the kid with the same name. Like, we have one from the same kid. So, like, Gregory Peck, please don't leave a third card with us. Like,
Gregory, go to your bar and pick up all your cards.
But, yeah, it's so annoying because they come up and, like, it's nice that we're kind of like a local bar. So my bartenders feel good being like, hey, motherfucker, this is your second time doing it. You're not getting another beer if you close this tab on a $3 Bud Light.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make... You know you're coming back. I know you're coming back. What's the point here?
Yeah.
It's the beast of making money off college kids is dealing with college kids.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But that's one thing I do miss about that type of place is, like, I could be an asshole to these kids and, like, tell them how it is. And here, I can't. Like, I have to be
worried about
a
your fucking Yelp review. I'm not, yeah. At the IA, we're not worried about Yelp reviews. I don't think we have a Yelp page. So, like, if you had a bad experience, I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I
realistically,
love a bad experience.
The younger kids are not Yelping anyway.
Exactly, exactly. Like, if it's like an adult, and it's so weird to be saying kids and adult, but like adults in there, I always try to make them have a good time, whatever. If it's the 21-year-old who just is doing $6 well, if you don't care about the type of vodka going in your vodka cocktail, you need to reevaluate what you're doing. Because just drinking well vodka is killing these people. Just go to Tito's. It's a dollar more.
Yeah. I mean, if vodka, I feel like it's all kind of similar to me, but the tipping situation with younger kids, like, that's the problem. It's like, let's serve them as much as we can because, like, we'll get a bigger tip. But a lot of them get so drunk that they forget to tip, or, like, they just scribble and you're like, what the fuck does this say?
We had a kid and he was a semi-regular, and I think he's a decent guy, but he was told, he's probably 22, he was told multiple times, like, I was told that he's not tipping well. So he came in, racked up and he's there like every night, racked up an $100 tab, left a dash, just left a nothing. And our bartender, a girl, another college girl, she was like, thanks for the tip, asshole. And his excuse was like, what do you expect? I'm a broke college kid. And then she was like, so I'm fucking high, and you're racking up $50 tabs here every night. And we had a talk with him. He said, you can't come in here if you don't tip our bartenders, because that's the money
they make. Yeah, absolutely.
And we 100%. Have that conversation with a lot of people. Like, we're not serving you again. Thanks for the $0 tip. Like, good luck getting a drink.
Yeah, I've had that conversation with people too. And it's like, all right, if you do it at one place that you're not a regular at, fine. But if you're going to go back to the same place over and over again, do you think you're going to get good service?
No. Actually, so I was a server, and this restaurant is no longer open, so I feel fine telling this story, at Winner Winner, which was a fried chicken place in Newport, counter service, like really good quality food. And I worked there for like 4 years. And Jay Leno was a fucking regular. He lives out there with you in LA too, but he also has a house out here. And during quarantine, he fucking comes in. This is like, no one's traveling. Like, you're not allowed to travel, but he comes in. There's another guy in there. He orders, his bill came to like $38.15. And he's talking with another guy and me. I don't give a shit that that's Jay Leno. Whatever. Like, he doesn't even matter to our generation. Like, most people even lower than us probably don't even, like, Jay Leno, they're Googling.
Who's that?
And he's talking to the guy's like, yeah, I just flew in. He's like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm just trying to make a conversation. So I said, oh, was it weird going through the airport? He's like, well, you know, I fly private, so it's not that big a deal. I was like, oh, thank you, Jay. So when he goes to pay, he takes out his giant thing of cash, takes out 20, it's a $38 bill, takes out 20, and then makes a show pulling over the glass tip jar, which no one has ever done, pulling it over in front of me, tapping it and say, the rest is yours, buddy. It's like $1.15. Like, not only like we the only restaurant open in COVID, you're Jay Leno, who is hundreds of millions of dollars, but you're making a show of it. I prefer a no tipper to a bad tipper. He tipped me like 1%. Like, if he didn't tip, I'd be like, that makes sense, dude. I am just putting chicken in a bag.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd tip me. But it's in the middle of quarantine, and the old grandma around the street is tipping me 20s because she feels bad that I'm like I'm quotation marking a frontline worker. And Jay, I gave him the worst service after that. And every time he came in, I'd be like, oh, what's the name on the order again? Fuck you, buddy.
Wait, that's so petty, and I love it.
Well, you have to be petty in the service industry. If you don't remember, there are people that are... It's like you remember great customers. I also am fucking petty about the people that have wronged me.
Oh,
because you're in my world now. I am in charge of your next hour to an hour and a half. And I will be as petty as I can be in that time.
Yeah. My favorite is when people are like, overly nice and like kind of like really in your face about how they like make money and how they're like so well to do, and then those are the people that don't really tip you, and you're like, that's funny, you were just 100%. Telling me that you make so much money and yet I don't see any here.
So one thing I learned quickly as a valet, and like it really, it's called Castle Hill, and it was a really really nice hotel, like 4 stars, whatever, and we check people in and host them to the rooms. And I learned quickly, like, it's not like the guy, like the old guy who looks like he's old money driving the Bentley that's going to throw you the $20 or $50 tip. It's like the sleeve tattoo construction worker in his Ford, like $450, that is throwing $100 because, like, he's probably worked in the industry before and his, like, he's earned his money. Like, you can't just judge, like, oh, a Bentley's coming in, because they might not give you fucking shit.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I really just don't judge people off of, like, anything other than how they treat people in the service industry.
But there is a weird thing in that, as a valet specifically, it was like, if a guy was a giant dickhead, but he was throwing hundies at us, you laugh at every joke that motherfucker says.
Oh, yeah.
You need to keep hitting that well for his 3-day stay.
And those guys have small penises, so they really enjoy the fact that they're, like, throwing out their hundreds, especially when they bring, like, the younger hot ladies with them.
Yes.
They
actually always have
show.
To be careful. If you ever work at a hotel with the old guys with small penises that bring in the younger hot ladies, you can never act like they've been there before. Because it's probably not. It's probably not the same younger hot lady, and it's definitely not Mrs. Jones. No. You know what I mean?
No. First of all, we have so many people's secrets. Like, I've said this before, I can ruin lives.
100%.
The amount of guys that came into my bars that were married and would bring in, like, dates or girlfriends, like, I knew what was going on, and I would just pretend like I had no idea.
Would those guys tip better? Knowing that you kind of had this little, like,
they
balance
should.
Of their life in your hands.
They should.
Yeah, it's similar to paying someone off.
Yeah, like, you better pay me off because I'm keeping your secrets.
Exactly. Yeah, therapists and secret keepers.
Yeah, therapists. And also, I feel like people that work at hair salons and nail salons, like, they have a lot of people's secrets.
I'm sure. But differently, that's self-divulged information. Like, we're the ones that are, like, almost accomplices.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting this 25-year-old blonde girl drunk for you to bring her home, you crusty old man. Like, you have to understand, like, what's going on, the dynamic here.
Oh, God, it's so, it grosses me out, but I'm, like, very entertained by it.
Oh, for sure. Actually, in Newport, there's a game everyone plays, Father or Daddy. when people are walking down the street, like, that could be her father, or is it her daddy? Like,
oh,
it's always
wow.
Tough. Yeah, once you see the handhold, you could kind of narrow it down to daddy. But
you never know; it could be her father. Things can easily get real weird.
Yes, they can.
My God. Okay, so you're working just at this place right now?
Yes, I have finally gotten to the point in my hospitality career that I can only work one job. I think at one point I was up to four. Definitely three a lot of the time, but I am, like, full salary, like, taking care of me, running the bar. Like, the hours are definitely better too. Like, even though once you go salary in the service industry, it's like they own you. It's like, well, when I have three jobs, they own me more.
True.
So,
yeah.
So yeah, the one spot, and it's going super well. It's I have a good crew, a lot of my friends working for me, which, like, you'd think wouldn't be great, but I always think it's better to have people, like, you actually trust than just, like, a stranger with your finger crossed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've definitely gotten a lot of my friends' jobs at places, but I'm very specific about, like, who I pick.
For sure.
Because, like, there's certain people that I'm like, yeah, I know you
I've been burned.
I know you work in the industry, but I don't want you working with me.
Reference-wise, I've been burned 100%. Like, yeah. And, like, you always think the best of your friends until you have worked with them at a place. And then it's like, oh, no, like, I should have not put my, like, brand on you.
Yeah.
Because my brand was already, like, light here. Like, I was nice to begin with. And now your actions are associated with me.
I definitely hold my friends, like, to a higher standard when I work with them. I've also worked with my sisters. So, like, I can be more of an asshole working with people I know because, like, I expect more of you.
Oh, and my toughest employee is, like, my best friend of 12 years. He's working at the bar right now, Carter. Because he's my best friend. So, like, he'll tell me to, like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Because he tells me to fuck off in everyday life. So, even, like, I asked him to do a day shift when he only does night shifts and makes a fuck ton of money. He's like, I don't want to. And I was like, but you have to. Please. like, just for me. Like, I need a day off.
That's a hard thing to do. I was managing for a bit. And I was actually my sister's manager. And
ooh.
I would be like, hey, can you do this? And she would be like, no, I don't want to. And I'm like, listen, I'm not your sister right now. I am your manager.
Yeah.
So it's a fine line between, like,
Was that at McGorry's?
No, it was at Corey's Ale House.
Okay.
But yeah, it's definitely difficult, especially being somebody's like superior.
Yeah, and I never tried to do that. Like, I was the valet manager for like 3 years at the hotel, and hired all my friends, and I basically said like, I'm the one that's going to take the shit from above us. If you fuck up, I'm going to like be like, please don't fuck up, but I'm never going to like act like, do this, do that, do this, like if I can do it too.
Yeah.
Even at the bar now, like I'm the one majority doing like the cleaning, like opening, taking the bad day shifts, all that stuff, because I mean, I can physically do it. Like, so like, why would I just like sit down and make like someone else sweep or mop?
Yeah, no, I'm all for like being a team player, regardless of like if you're a manager or not. I always like do the work or help other people. But, oh man, it's hard because, like, right now, so the place I'm working at, we all became friends, and one of the kids that we work with ended up getting promoted to floor manager. And you could see, like, the change in power.
Yeah.
And, like, we thought he was going to be, like, super great. He's very smart. He, like, knows a lot about drinks. He's very personable. But, like, you could kind of see the power trip that he is.
The dynamic change.
It did. And it's, like, uncomfortable because I'm annoyed that, like, he says certain things to me, and I want to just punch him in the face. But I can't. I have to be respectful because he's my manager now, but, like...
Does your manager listen to this podcast? Because I feel like he's going to get the fucking hit.
No, I don't think he does. I mean, so we have, like, an actual GM who, like, is the person I go to for everything. And he lets me do the things that this kid doesn't let me do. Like, the other day, we, like, finished our shift, and there was... it was a brunch shift, and there's always, like, sangria left over that we have to get rid of.
Yeah.
So I, like, poured myself a glass of sangria and sat down to do the roll-ups, and he was like, are you drinking sangria right now? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, can you wait till your shift is over? And I was like, what? Like, yeah. I've watched you take shots behind the bar.
Also, once you get to doing roll-ups, I don't care if you're still on the clock. Your shift is over. That is the announcement to everyone around you. All my tickets are out. I have done my tips. I am doing my roll-ups. I'm out. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, you might as well be smoking a cigarette with your feet up doing your roll-ups. Like, your shift is over.
I just don't understand what the big deal was. Like, I was still working. It's not like I was still clocked in and just, like, hanging out and drinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, like, I don't know, just certain things I'm, like, getting annoyed by, and I just have to bite my tongue.
Well, one of my first weeks taking over this place, and it was kind of lawless before, like, not, like, crazy, just, like, there was a little more rope for bartenders and stuff, getting drunk behind the bar or whatever, like, and it was never that busy, like, it was definitely that old man bar, like, maybe I would beg my friends to come visit me on Monday night, like, no doorman, no second bartender, just to have people there. So, like, I asked our owner, it was great, I was like, listen, you know, people hang out after they're done cleaning and have a couple drinks, you know, have a beer or two just after they work. And she said, she's like, because I just wanted to confirm with her, like, that was all right. And she's like, yeah, if I just worked, like, a busy 6 hours, I would need a drink, too. That's fine. Like, obviously, just don't overdo it, which, yeah. Like, was good, because I would have felt like a dick telling these people who've been doing it forever, like, no more, like, Bud Lights after your shift, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Most places allow their staff to, like, have an after-work drink. Or
It's so rough, though, like, if you've got for corporate. Like, I don't know if your place is corporate. Like, it's such
a
different vibe.
It's not, but I've worked for corporate.
It's such a different vibe. Like, if it's personally owned, like, that's where you'll see, like, the staff. Like, even, like, really classy places, the staff, like, getting a little buzz, like, drinking a vodka soda mid-shift. Corporate, if they see you, like, finishing, like, the end of your shaker in a shot or something, you'll get fired.
Yeah.
At the hotel, all the bartenders come over to my bar now after their shift because they can't even have, like, a beer after work. There's no going around the bar after your shift's over and having a beer. It's like you can't be seen there for the rest of the day. That's an actual rule.
No, yeah. I worked at a corporate place, and it was very much like that. We had to do pour tests in the beginning of the shift.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was rough. Like, everything had to be, like, accounted for.
What's your count? What's your pour count?
If it's an ounce, it should be a 4 count.
Okay. I do like a 4 count and then, like, stop counting for, like, a half second. Because I just want to, like, be known as a heavy pour. I had this motherfucker the other 4th of July. So busy. The bar is absolutely slammed. I don't know him. Him and his girlfriend are sitting there. Like, I finally get to him at the bar. And I'm like, all right, what can I get you guys? He's like, can we do 2 cranberry vodkas? But the last time they were mostly cranberry. Do you mind, like, putting, like, some vodka in there?
Oh, no.
I just kind of, like, stare at him. I was like... And he was like, well, no, listen, I'm not trying to be, like, whatever. Just, you know. And I was like, all right. I just went over, and we serve in plastic cups. I went over and got 2 12-ounce cups, filled it, like, to the brim with well vodka. Well vodka, splash cran, brought it over. Had to be the worst drink either of them have ever had. Like, absolutely disgusting well vodka on ice. But, like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, honestly, I hate people like that because I'm like, first of all, my pour is the same for every single person.
It's a $6 cocktail, and we're the heaviest pour in Newport. Like, I couldn't believe the audacity that he had.
You know what it is? I'm sorry you ordered a cranberry vodka, but people don't realize that cranberry covers the taste of vodka. Like, it's very acidic and very strong.
Without a doubt.
Like, what do you expect?
You're in a dingy Irish bar, drinking out of a plastic cup, surrounded by, like... 18 girls wearing American flag cowboy hats. Like, this is not the place for you to, like, make your stand on pours. Like,
And also, you've clearly never worked in the service industry.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's so clear when people haven't. And that's, like, when I was thinking before we were doing this, like, I think one difference between, like, when you would work in McGorry's and me working here, in that we deal with a fuck ton of tourists. All the douchebags that you would deal with at McGorry's are all Long Island douchebags that you've grown up with your whole life. And I'm not saying they're not a tough animal, because I probably am one of them. And all of my friends definitely were some of the Long Island douchebags. Like, but with tourists, it's like they have, and I'm sure you have it in LA now, like they have like 3 days to like get as fucked up as they want. In Newport, they're all huge money, so none of them probably ever worked a hospitality job. Or, I mean, that's presumptuous, but most haven't. And they just come in and expect these things like espresso martinis. It's like, what do you think's gonna happen here right now? You think I'm about to make you an espresso martini? There's 7 people lined up behind you at the bar. The fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's like a rough thing. That definitely was a thing at McGorry's. Like, you would have your regulars, and then you would have like your random people that would be like, "Do you have any fresh pineapple?" And I'm like, "Can you look at this place?"
I hate to say this to you, because I was never a McGorry's guy.
That's fine.
Always Gannon's.
That's okay.
I was not a crowd person, and I would just wait for inevitably like 3 or 4 of my friends to come to Gannon's, and I would just hang out with Woody, who is the craziest bartender I've ever met.
So he's the craziest person I've ever met.
Still doesn't know my name, but loves me. He calls me Matty Molson because he was on the Islanders back in like 2012 when I started going in there, and like gets so excited, like, you know, he's always so fucking hyped. But McGorry's, it was too busy for me, and now working in a busy bar, I was like, I still don't like it.
Yeah, it's a hit or miss. I mean, McGorry's, you kind of know that like bad things will happen if it's crowded.
Yeah, that's the biggest worry. Like, this Tuesday, we had 3 different fights in our bar.
Yeah.
And,
like, having the younger crowd, that's what happens. That's what you have to look out for. Like, when you have older crowds of people, most of the time you're not going to have any sort of problem. But when you bring in all the younger kids, like, you know what to look out for. Like, your head is on a swivel constantly because someone's going to say something and then hands are going to be flying.
100%. Like, we were lucky to not, like, I think there weren't many punches thrown. It was a lot of, like, drunk wrestling and stuff. But then it's so tough because, like, McGorry's, how many bouncers would you have on per night? Like, a busy night? Like,
we
2 or 3?
We'd have 2 bouncers.
Yeah. So, like, we're smaller, but, like, we have 1. But it's also, like, he has to check every ID at the door. So, it's, like, impossible to, like, keep track of the back of the bar, especially when every bartender has their head down. So, like, when shit happens, you just kind of go over and not only, like, physically separate people, but then, like, you're a detective. Like, so what happened? Who is in the wrong? Like, it's either going to be both of you or definitely one of you.
Yeah. Well, that was our problem, too. Like, we would have the bouncer basically IDing, and then the other one with its head up his ass. Like, most of the time, they weren't paying attention. And, like, I'm, like, constantly paying attention because I know something bad's gonna happen, and usually
smell it in the air.
I'm the one that has to go over and be like, get the fuck away from
me. Oh, man. We have a badass bartender, and she's actually an assistant manager now, too. My first promotion I ever gave. It felt so good to give someone a promotion. She played hockey at Salve, so she's, like, tough as nails.
Oh, yeah.
And during one of the fights, she legitimately jumped over the bar. It's like a big bar, hopped over it, got in between and shit, which I don't even know if I want her doing because I want her to be safe. But, like, she's tough as shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I could picture you doing it.
Oh, I have. That's another thing. Like, it's annoying for me because I work with all guy bartenders and they're like, get very protective. And I'm like, listen, I can fucking kick all of these people's asses. Like, so we had Thanksgiving Eve a couple of years ago, which was, it's the busiest night of the year. The worst night to work because everyone just like is crowded at the bar. They're all flailing their arms at you. They all want drinks. Like,
it's also the worst night for conversation. It's like, oh, I come home and you see people and it's like, how you been? Good. Everything good? Good. And you do that 55 times a night. It's fucking terrible.
I didn't even get to talk to people because I'm so busy. So we had this like front window in the front of the job that like opens all the way. So it was so crowded and people were waiting outside that they started opening the windows and walking through the window from outside. I jumped up on the bar and I almost fucking crowd surfed my way over to the window to be like, get the fuck back. I like caused scene. I was like, what are these people think they're doing?
People trying to get in the bar, and it's like specifically underage kids now with the IDs. And it's rough because we all did it at one point too. So like, I had a fake. I would get into a lot of bars. We would sneak people in the back door. But now, like, I was working the door, and we have a back door. And it was, like, employees only, but you could get to it, and then you could unlock the lock back door.
Yeah.
So I would, like, deny a kid at the front. And then an hour later, he'd come walking by me on the way out of the back. And I, like, had to grab him behind his neck and be like, motherfucker, I didn't let you in. I used to do what you did. You have to go out the same door you came in. You can't walk out the front now. Like I remember you. We had a discussion. Even with IDs, like, you look at the ID and it looks completely fake. And we always ask for a backup now, just like a debit card or something. And, like, the girl hands me a high school ID from 2014 and 15 as her backup ID. And it's like, you don't have anything better than this? She's like, no, it always works. I was like, no, it
didn't. It always works.
It's like, no, I was like, 2000, and it actually hit me and made me realize I was old, but I was like, 2014-15 is so long ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I graduated college. You do not have your high school ID for that. And then with girls, it's always the, oh, I didn't bring my debit card with me. Well, they have their full purse on them. So it's like, so you left your, it's like, I'm just paying with cash tonight. So you have your whole purse, a shitty ID, and not one other thing in that purse that would have your name on it.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I mean, I know right away. I'm very good at, like, IDing people and knowing that it's fake. Here, it's different now because I have to
get used
to...
I was going to say that if you need a bouncing job, I will fucking hire you.
Oh, no. Like, so New York ID specifically, I was, like, very good at telling. Yeah. But here, it's a little different because I have to get used to, like, the fake LA IDs, like, and the... I don't know. That's, like, a little iffy for me right now. But I was, like, spot on all the time. And my favorite is when kids would be like, no, like, that's me. This is my ID. And I'm like, are you really going to fucking stand here and argue with me? Like, this is clearly a fake ID.
The argument's the best, like, because it has the perfect settler. Like, you're taking the ID. We take IDs now. We used to not because I want to be the nice guy. And I'd say, like, well, don't bring that to Pelham or O'Brien's because, like, they'll take it. But then it just got too bad where I paid my bouncers $5 for every ID they take.
That's actually illegal, just so you know.
I don't do that.
No, just,
No, I actually don't do that.
I mean, everybody does it. Everybody does it, but, like, only...
I meant to say we think about doing it, we thought about it, and then we looked into the legality, and we
I don't think anyone that's, like, of legal standard is listening to my podcast, so it's probably fine, but...
Like, you get to the point where it's like, I'm keeping their ID, but they're like, no, it's me. And then it's like, all right, like, give the cops a call. Like, well, I'll give the cops a call, and they'll come down and look at it. And then they're like, okay, bye.
Yeah, bye.
We'll see. Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. Or, like, sometimes they'll go to a table, and I feel like younger kids think they're, like, it's more lenient when you have a server. So, like, I'll have kids come in, and I'll be like, hey, like, you're ordering a drink. Can I just see everybody's IDs? And they're like, actually, never mind. We're just going to get a soda. And I'm like, oh, yeah. How funny.
Wait, listen to this fucking story. I'm out to eat. This happened last week. Two tequila shots get sent over. And I need to pull up the text from this person that I'm going to read. Two tequila shots get sent over from the table next to me. And it's a girl that, like, I kind of recognize, don't. And she's like, hey, I heard I'm banned from the IA. Can I be allowed back in? And I was like, oh, I don't know you. Like, I didn't ban you. I don't know, like, what the deal is. She's like, yeah, I'm friends with Becky and Erica, like, two of my bartenders. And I was like, all right, like, thank you for the shots. Let me, you know, hit them up and see what the deal is. So I text. I was like, hey, Rebecca, why was your friend Kimberly kicked out? She goes, she's underage. She also went to the back room and stole chips. She was standing, another time she was standing up on top of stools and jumping off of them. And another night she puked right outside of the front door. So, like, I die laughing. I turn over to the girl and I was like, well, Kimberly, you're underage. You stole from us. You were jumping off stools and then another night you puked right outside the front door. So you're still banned, but until you're of age. And then we can have a little grace period and see what's up. Because that's just the law. That's not me banning you.
The fact that she thought that was totally okay.
And then she started, like, shushing me when I first said underage because she was there drinking with her friends. And I was like, well, what the fuck were you thinking?
Oh, my. The younger generation really has some balls on them. And, like, now that I think back to it, I also had balls on me when I was, like, pretending to be of age. But now that I'm older, I just hate those people because I'm no longer one of them.
Yes, I detest them. And it's also, like, I constantly am getting in Newport, like, some people are, like, you know, they're like, wow, I hear the IA is doing so well, but I heard there's a lot of underage kids in there. And I'm like, well, we're double IDing everybody. And then there's a lot of underage kids in a lot of bars because I got into 95% of bars I would get into with my fake.
Yeah.
So I don't think that much has changed in, like, the 12, fuck, how long? 11 years since I was under 21. Like, it's a constant thing and it's a struggle, but, like, as long as you're double IDing, I, like, don't know what the fuck else you can do.
Yeah. Also, you can tell if it's fake because, like, their demeanor changes. Like, when you ask for an ID and they either, like, rummage around in their bag for too long or, like, they get nervous. They get nervous and they hand you the ID and, like, look away. Like, you know damn well that that's not their ID.
I had one. I was throwing a party. This is me with an underage ID. We were throwing a party at my house, like, first party. I was working the door, got way too fucked up. I think a cop came by twice telling me to let people, like, get everyone out of the house. I was like, yeah, never did it. Eventually he stops, comes in, tells everyone to leave, asks me for my ID. I open my wallet, bag of weed falls on the floor. A dub. This is how long ago it was. It was a dub. Like, a $20 dub that I had purchased for $20. God. And then he's like, what's this? He's like, okay, cool. He's like, now give me your ID. And my ID, and I don't know if you remember this kid. He was on my basketball team. Benedetto Vassallo. Benny?
No.
Tall kid, a grade older than me. Gave me his ID because it said 6'5 on it. So we thought we'd be fine. And it would work. But it was in the front. So I went to reach behind it for my ID. And he was like, no. Give me that one. So then I gave the cop that. And he's looking at it. He's like, Benedetto Vassallo. Can you even spell this? I was like, B. I don't know, man. Like, I don't have it. And these are my roommates telling me all this. So he's like, all right, buddy, we can get you with possession of weed, possession of a fake ID, or noise violation. And I, like, looked at all my roommates, and I was like, noise violation. And the cop, like, patted me on the shoulder. He's like, that's the first good decision you've made tonight. So, like, we've all done the dumb, stupid, underage ID stuff. But once you're on the other side of it, it's fucking rough.
Oh, man, I remember. So I never really had a fake ID until I was, like, 20. And one of my friends texted me. She was like, hey, I just found this ID on the floor at school. Like, I'm going to give it to you because I know you don't have an ID and everyone else that you're friends with is over 21. And I was like, cool. She gives it to me. It's this ID. This, like, her name was Maria. She was, like, 5'1". And clearly Spanish. Like, Spanish. Like, looked nothing like me. And I actually got into a decent amount of places. And one night I went out in Rockville Center and I went to this bar And I, well,
that's the known under eight. I mean, Blackthorns. Yeah. If you're under 18, you hit up Blackthorns.
Oh yeah, but it wasn't Blackthorns. I don't remember where it was, but I went to the bar. I got wasted. I ended up standing on the bar. They were like pouring the actual bottles in my mouth. Like such a fun night. I like threw up spinach dip all over my shoes.
Was it the one with the blue fishbowl bar?
Yes.
Because I remember my friends always getting up on the bar. Like they love that shit there. I forget the name of it.
So like underage me is having the time of her life. Like I leave, I go home, I'm like dying. I wake up the next day, we go back to that bar that night. And the bouncer's like, no, this isn't you. And I was like, sir, I was literally in here dancing on the bar last night. And he was like, sorry. So I walked down the block to Blackthorns and then I got in there.
Got right in. Fucking Blackthorns. Oh, man.
Yeah, but that was like the extent of my fake ID days because I never actually like purchased one. I know you could get one in the city for like $100.
And they scan now too. So like you can't even have a scanner. Like it's crazy. Yeah. It's like very intelligent fraud. If it scans and like looks like them, what are you gonna do?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if it looks really good, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. No, they're gonna get a drink. I mean, and if you know your info, if you know your birthday, you know the street address. Like, I'm fucking proud of you.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to the bar. Like, we did everything we could.
The best thing to do is like ask somebody a question that even if you don't know the answer when you're IDing somebody, if they like think for too long, you know that they're lying. So like, I would be like, hey, what year did you graduate high school? And they'll be like,
yes.
And like,
which is an easy, yeah.
Like, you know what year you graduated high school.
Well, I had a girl, she was so adamant it was her. And I had a table right behind me and they were kind of loving it. Like, she was hammered and I was like, I don't know, joking around a little bit with her. And I was like, well, it's not you. And she was like, it is me. I was like, well, I was like, guys, is this her? And they're like, that's not her. It's like, it's not you. She's like, I'll show you my Instagram. And I was like, all right, let me see your Instagram. So she pulls up the Instagram of the girl that's on the ID. And then I click like the home button and it went to her profile. So, and I had the phone because I know how to work Instagram. I don't know how old she thought I was, but I know how to use Instagram. So I like turned it around. I'm like, no, this is you. And she was like, you're right. And then she was like funny about it, but it was.
Yeah, some people are funny about it. And then some kids like argue with you to the death. And I'm like, yeah, you can really leave now because you're being an asshole.
My quickest thing at our bar now is just, it's like, I'm just going to call the cops. Like, because it's rough for bouncers. You can't just like hit first. Like,
you might have been
10 years ago or whatever. So I always say, if anyone's trouble or like anything, you could just call the cops. That's literally what they're there for. Like, because they don't want you to get physical with the guy.
No.
It's like, if they touch you, then you can. But
yeah, no, that's a hard thing too. Like, I've seen a lot of bouncers end up in like really bad situations.
Oh, 100%.
I was working one night, and all of a sudden, I like go outside, and there's this like whole thing going on. I don't know what the fuck was happening. There was just like people in the street yelling, and like, all of a sudden, I see my bouncer fighting with some kid that wasn't even in the bar. And I talked to him after, and he's like, these kids literally came around the corner and jumped me outside while I was bouncing.
It's a scary job. I tell them, like, you get one punch, like, in terms of, like, you know, you restrain, you could throw down, whatever. But once, like, one punch, like, if they're, like, actually attacking you or something, you'll be good. I like, but like, you can't like, once they're down, like, you know, beat the hell
no,
out of
no.
them anymore, at least.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, like, I totally understand like defending yourself, but you can't really go further than that. You have to have restraint, and a lot of security guards don't because they're hot-headed.
It's a stressful ass job because like it's so hard for me to go into work completely sober and then deal with hammered people for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Just like the drunk conversations, the I love yous, the like everything. It's like it's being the sober person out with your friends. And it's like, I just want to go home to my bed. Like if I go in to manage, I need a beer or two just to like fucking be my nice self to handle these fucking people sometimes.
Yeah, that was the hard part for me.
And luckily the environment we're in, you could have a beer.
Yeah, I never drank at work. I was like very adamant about that.
You wouldn't do shots
if
someone bought shots for you?
I've
really?
Never drank behind the bar.
Ebiki trying to buy you shots at 2 a.m. It would never go down?
Nope.
Oh, my God. What was strength?
You know what it was? Like, I've seen too many people go down a path where they start drinking constantly at work. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I just never started. And the worst part about it was, like, sometimes I really did need a drink because I was like, do I even ever want to drink again? Because these people look so stupid.
Yes.
Do I look like
this?
The
conversations.
I'm like, do I look like this?
It's so rough. No, you definitely don't.
My favorite conversations are the ones I have with, like, the old regulars at the bar. Yes. They're my favorite.
Those are risky in terms of, because that's what I do mostly, is, like, I work the days during the week and I talk with the old regulars that come in. And you have to be ready to not say your opinion on things they have awful opinions about. And I mean, I make a habit of that anyway. But, like, you could hear a really nasty fucking word that is coming from a person, and you just kind of have to be like, okay, this is a drunk old 70-year-old man. I'm not going to get offended by what he's saying. Yeah.
More times than not, like, the older regulars loved me, but I had so many of them be like, oh, like, why do you keep getting those tattoos on you? You know, they're older, so they would go down the path of, like, you know, you're such a beautiful girl. You really shouldn't do that. And I was like, well, it's already here.
I had a conversation with my mom, and it was like, you buy art, right, Mom? And she's like, yeah, I buy art sometimes. And it's like, what's the difference? This one is literally forever, and I get to see it every day. I don't. It's art. I don't know what the difference is. Because my upstairs neighbor, my landlord, was there. Real estate agent when they moved up here, and he has sleeves and he crushes it. He's like the best real estate agent here. And he has sleeves, he has his whole legs done, everything. And she's like, Tyler's such a nice boy, I love him, but all those tattoos. And it's like, no, like, he looks fucking awesome.
Like, if you can do your job and you're a good human being, I don't understand why it matters that you have tattoos.
No, and I mean, I kind of like, especially I was working at Castle Hill and then the Chandler, and they're all like Forbes, 5-star. So you had to be completely shaven, no visible tattoos. The hair always had to be like when I got on with you, you were like, wow, the hair's crazy right now. Because it's like, it finally can be. I can finally grow out my terrible beard and not worry. Get to wear shorts to work and like a tie-dye. It's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because working in stuffy places, you can't.
Yeah, I have to wear like a button-down shirt and like black.
Do you have to cover your arms or no?
No, I don't have to. I'm in LA, so good. Like everybody has tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. And it's getting more accepting too. Like even Castle Hill, they have a new bartender, Jesse, there, who comes to our bar a lot. And he has tattoos like all over his arms. And when I brought it up to him, like, dude, like you can work like that? He's like, why does everyone at Castle Hill like say that? I was like, because we used to have to like, I had my valets in like arm basketball sleeves to cover their shit. Like they were intense. But I think everyone's listening up a little bit.
I mean, they should. Like, nowadays, it's so much more normal to, like, have tattoos. And I don't see the problem with it at all.
100%.
Okay, so I have to ask you something. I saw a video of you in the middle of a baseball field in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes.
Were you a reverend or something?
I marry the hell out of people.
Wait.
Alex.
I'm dead.
At our bar. Yeah, no, I've had two. I had one on Wednesday and one yesterday. I've done like 12. So our owner saw this in Key West where it's $7.99 for a wedding to get married. So she's like, why not do it at our bar? And nothing happened for 2 years. And then they ran like a local news story on it. And we got like 25 booked. So like I went online, like did the $30 officiant thing. And I'm just marrying people left and right. Like, on the we sponsored that game on the baseball field. Like, we had my buddy Joey throw out the first pitch. And then in, like, the fifth inning, we went out and I married some people. It's crazy.
I saw that video and I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
I'm loving it. It's like, at first, it was, like, so nerve-wracking. And then also in my head, I was like, this is weird that I'm just marrying these strangers. But then I'm like, they're also getting married in this like tiny dark Irish bar. So like, whatever, we'll just have fun with it.
Yeah.
So
or in the middle of a baseball field.
Exactly. Yeah. That was actually the third time I married that couple.
Wait, what?
So the first time they did it, there was like 40 people in the bar for their wedding. They were the first couple I married, but they forgot their license. So then they still had the party and everything. Then they came back like 3 weeks later with the license. Married them legally. Then we sponsored Irish American Night at like a local baseball league, and we're trying to hype up the weddings, like marketing a little bit. So we invited them back and they like came out on the field. So that one was like a vow.
So it was like a fake wedding.
Yeah, like I see them all the time. I told them, like, I'm not doing it for a fourth time. Please,
please. Wait, that's so funny. I'm going to get officiated because I want to marry people.
It's $30. You could become, I'm a reverend at the Universal Life Church. I've met so many other reverends. It's a really cool.
That's amazing.
And it's religious, I guess. I don't know really what we believe in, yeah. But we love marriage.
We love marriage. I don't plan on getting married, but if I do, you're officiating the wedding.
Let me tell you a hospitality thing that my viewpoint on weddings. Every summer, specifically in Newport, I've been invited to weddings that eat up an entire weekend. You travel. It's $1,000 if you're bringing like a date or more plus the gift. And then you lose $2,000 or $1,000 because you're not working that weekend, which is the busiest time. When I get married, or if I get married, Wednesday after July 4th, middle of the fucking week, I'm inconveniencing all you 9-to-5 motherfuckers. It's my only reason I actually would want to get married is to inconvenience everyone who has taken a summer weekend from me.
Oh my God, I'm so in for that because I have like 3 weddings coming up.
We're right at that age. It's
and old. This happened to me like a couple years ago. There was like the first like wave of people getting married. And now this coming year, I have like the next wave of people. And I'm like, can we stop doing this?
The one nice thing, like not nice, it's like tough to say, but like, one silver lining of COVID was the 4 canceled weddings that summer for me.
Yeah.
And it went from being like, I have this concert, I have this concert, I have this wedding, I have this wedding. I was looking at the schedule. I was like, I'm not going to be able to do this. Like, work will not let me take all of these weekends off. And then it was just like free summer to lay on the beach and not do any of those things. And while I missed them all, it was kind of nice to like not have anything planned like that.
Yeah, totally. And now that I live in California, not only do I have to go to the weddings, I have to fly to New York and go to the weddings. And I'm in all the weddings. So brutal.
Yeah, so brutal. It's so nice when you're not in the wedding. I had 2 best mans, and I was just a groomsman in one. It was a Disney-themed wedding. It was something.
I love that.
Oh, man. I don't know. You might be Disney'd out. But just going is the best. You don't have to worry about the preparation, the pictures, like a fucking speech if like that's coming up.
Ugh. Oh God, I have to make so many speeches and I'm like, I need to be drunk.
The best compliment I ever got, and I was so nervous, it was for, you know, Brian Klaus, another deadhead. Yeah. His wedding, I was his best man and I was so fucking nervous, like sweating. Did the speech, like everyone was like saying great job and stuff, and I went over to the bar. And, like, the young black dude who was the bartender there says to me, he's like, I've seen about 40 of those this summer, man, and that was the best one. And I know he has, because those wedding bartenders are there every single night and see thousands of speeches. And when he said that to me, I was like, you don't know how much that means to me, man. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But he probably was just doing it for the $20
tip. I know. I've seen a lot of bad speeches. I think mine was good. I was told mine was good, but...
Who's it yours?
Jess Anderson.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. But like mine was great. All the guys were like stumbling and like didn't know what the fuck they were saying. And I was like, all right, at least my speech was good.
But for sure.
Yeah. It's nerve wracking standing in front of everybody and saying a speech.
Even if you're like the most personable fucking person and you're just like talking to everyone, once you have to get up in front of like 200 people, it's like, fuck this.
Yeah, totally.
Why did you do this to me? Yeah. I thought I was your best
friend. Yeah. Like now you're torturing me. Oh man, yeah. I'm gonna wrap it up a little bit. Do you have any last minute things you want to say to the people about the service industry?
No, I feel like I've just been bitter about it the whole time. But I actually truly love it and enjoy it. Like I couldn't just picture myself working in any other industry. Like I went to school for like teaching and stuff, and did the student teaching thing, and didn't like it. And I love like 95% of people are awesome, and there's 5% that are gonna be shitty no matter what. So 90% of the time, you're really happy, having a good time. And then that 5%, it's like, you know, you get to tell them the fuck off.
Yeah, but so the 5% of the time is the time we actually talk about.
Exactly. Well, those are the fun ones. Like, if people are happy, like, it's like, yeah, I served this guy 16 beers and he tipped me $40 because we became best friends for that
hour.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's not
moral of the story. Just be fun, be a good person. And if you're a piece of shit, you don't come to my bar.
Definitely don't come to the IA if you're a piece of shit. Like, we'll let you in, but you'll be kicked out relatively quickly. My bartenders they don't take shit.
Oh, my God.
Very similar to
you. I would fit in so well there.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to come out and guest bartend. We have to, like, plan a concert or something.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm so in for that. Do you want to throw out your Instagram handle for anybody?
Yeah, it's Merangutan 12. It's not a nickname of mine. I made it when I was like, I don't know, when Instagram came out in college, and then have just stuck with it because I feel like changing it would be daunting. But yeah, Merangutan 12. But then Irish American AC in Newport. We love followers. We love members and people. Newport's an awesome place to come to, and it's only 3 hours from New York. Everyone that comes here has a good time.
All right. If anyone's in Newport, Rhode Island, go check out the bar and go see James. He'll hook you up.
100%.
All right. Thank you so much for being here.
It was awesome. I know it was tough getting me on, but anytime you need to fill some space, you let me know.
All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right.
All right. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Before I throw out my handles, I just want to say I recently got some news that someone I worked with for a lot of years is in the hospital. He was diagnosed with cancer and now he needs a double lung transplant. If anyone out there is listening and you feel that you can donate, I implore you to, because he is a really great guy. He has a son and he really needs our help. So if you want to add any money to his GoFundMe, his name is Anthony Bolden, B-O-L-D-E-N. Send your prayers, send your love, send your money. He really needs it, and I really appreciate you guys listening to this. If you would like to be on the podcast, you can message me at justthetip_pod. And if you want to follow my personal account, it's at Althea_moon. I will be here every Thursday for your listening pleasure, and I will see you next week.